Moncrief on News Talk. Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone. The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Yes, and as always, Simon Tierney joins us in studio to look at inventions that have impacted the world greatly. And this week, Simon, you're looking at one that has genuinely impacted many people that we'll be listening to, the clamp.
The clamp, Tom. Have you been clamped ever?
Several times.
I mean, it's the inevitable question,
yeah,
isn't it?
And I've felt aggrieved every single time and couldn't see how it could have happened to me, but I suppose in reality I was illegally parked and so be it.
I was speaking to someone who lives in a different country to Ireland and they were saying that they do have clamping like we do, but that the appeals process is a lot easier. It's the appeals process that upset people a lot, I think, in Ireland, is that when you call up to get your car released, you have to, it's automated,
yeah.
you don't get to talk to anyone and you have to pay the fine, and then the appeal process comes after that. The person I was speaking to says, well, you can appeal it pretty much straight away before you pay for it. But I would imagine that the actual compliance and getting the fees is probably much lower.
You're just reminding me now, I was clamped in a car park behind Easton's in Dunleary. I went in, parked, went in to get a newspaper, came back. So I was gone from the car for 5 minutes. And I looked at the guy and said, what about the 15 minutes grace period? And he pointed to the sign and said, this is a whatever company it was, car park, there is no 15 minute grace period.
Oh.
Yes!
Well, there's supposed to be a 10 minute grace period. So that's unfortunate to hear. The reason I wanted to speak about this, Tom, is because I was walking down a Dublin street the other day and I happened to catch a glimpse of a couple of lads with an angle grinder and working together to remove a clamp
Ooh.
From the wheel of a car.
Highly illegal, I presume.
Oh yeah, highly illegal. But it tickled my interest and I started wondering, well, how often does this happen and how successful is it? The latest figures I have for the illegal removal of clamps is 2016, and there were 500 successful removals of clamps in that year.
I'm really amazed to hear it's such a high number.
I was amazed to hear that number as well. Now, they're obviously using heavy industrial cutting equipment like angle grinders and stuff like that. It is a criminal offence and they will be prosecuted. So, for example, in that year of 2016, when there were 500 such cases, one of the prosecutions ended up with a €1,250 fine.
Mm.
So a lot more than the €80 to get it released.
Serious stuff. Don't do it. It's against the law. But where did this wonderful invention come from?
Okay, well, 1955 is when the punitive clamp was invented in the city of Denver, Colorado. And bizarrely, Tom, it was a violinist in the Colorado Symphony Orchestra who designed and patented the world's first clamp. He had a friend in the Colorado Police Department who said that he was having problems with people not paying their parking tickets, and this fellow, Frank Marek, he decided to come up with an immobilizer. Now, his idea, this is interesting, right? Because in America, and I tweeted about this earlier, your car doesn't get clamped, it gets booted.
Right.
Any listeners who have ever lived in America will be well aware of this phraseology. It's totally different to here. And the reason they call it that is because Frank Marek, he based his design on the Oregon boot. And the Oregon boot was a foot shackle that was used to immobilize prisoners in the state of Oregon right up until the 1920s. And it was a most awful contraption, Tom. It looked like, some sort of hunting trap for catching mink or something like that. But it was attached and locked to one leg of a prisoner, and it made them hobble and it made them unbalanced so that they weren't able to run or escape that easily.
And that was his inspiration.
That was his inspiration because
he's a strange man, this violinist.
He was this violinist. But his idea was, well, the point of the Oregon boot was to immobilize a prisoner. So what I want to do is I want to imprison or immobilize a car.
Right.
So I'm going to use the same system.
Okay.
And that's what he did.
That's clever. No, it's good.
He designed it with steel. It was very heavy. He later made it with aluminium. But it was an immediate success. So when it came into Denver, the first city in the world to have the clamp. In the first 25 days, the Denver Police Department collected $18,000 in parking tickets. Now, for the mid-1950s, that's a huge figure.
Did he make a lot of money out of this?
He did. He patented it a couple of years later and he sold his idea across the world. His clamp, the American clamp, it's a little bit different to ours. Ours is a bit chunkier.
Yeah.
There's a bit more, bit more slender, a bit more stylish, I'd say.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds easier to get off. American one, as you describe it there, may I say. So in America, you'd say my car got booted.
Booted, yeah.
We wouldn't have a clue what they're talking
about.
But
of course, they don't use the word boot the way we use the word
boot.
No, they
don't.
They say trunk. So it's not to be confused for them. It's not as confusing. If we used the word booted, it would be much more confusing
for
us.
So they kept it over on that side of the Atlantic for a very long time. And it arrived in England first. England decided it liked what it saw in America and it was happy to import the unhappiness.
And this is an important part of the history of the clamp, I think, for us as Irish people, Tom, because when the clamp first arrived in Ireland, we saw it as an English import. And that's one of the reasons why it was so
detested.
That's
a very bad foot to get off on, isn't it?
Really is. Yeah. And I'll get to the reasons for that in a moment. But as you say, the clamp was first brought into England the year of my birth, 1983. And it was, again, a huge success, particularly in the borough of Knightsbridge. Anyone who's been to London will know that that's the home of Harrods and various other extremely expensive shops. So the residents of Knightsbridge, who are also probably very wealthy, were delighted with clamping because suddenly they got their parking spaces back for their Rolls Royces and Bentleys.
Very good. So it's straight away benefiting the richest people in society. I just want to point that fact out. They had it there, though, 1983. We managed to keep it out of here until August 1998. We let them go their own way for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was several years later. We brought it in 1998. It was brought in by Dublin Corporation to settle traffic congestion, as they described it at the time. The penalty was £65, which
it's a lot.
It is a lot for that time. I was quite surprised because when you think £65 and now it's €80 at the moment, that's not much difference.
No, it hasn't changed
for inflation.
It
hasn't really
changed. It's gone down, I'd say, if anything. Yeah.
But I did a deep dive, as I tend to do for this slot, into the Irish newspaper archive, and I found the level of outrage in the press in 1998 was really quite extraordinary when clamping was first introduced. And one of the reasons for this is because, and really legitimately so, rightly so, Tom, I think, is that small shop owners really felt aggrieved about clamping. You know, the idea of kind of pulling up outside a shop and popping in, that kind of thing, as opposed to going to a big supermarket on the outskirts of a city where they provide parking for you for free. You know, one headline read, "Relax the clamping, beg shop owners." However, despite that, it did have an extraordinary effect, an immediate effect on illegal parking. So before August 1998, the amount of illegal parking was at about 35% in Dublin city centre. Within 1 month of the launch, it had gone to 15%.
Very good. And loads of money raised as well, I presume.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, nowadays, like, say, take 2019, for example, Tom. The revenue from clamping was just about €3 million. So it's a real earner for the city.
A few people are texting us, 53106 for your text. "I work on the management side of a building site. The lads take clamps off daily with angle grinders after being unfairly clamped in Cherrywood. I did the same. I gave the clampers advance notice I was doing it. They didn't believe me. I rang them back when it was done and they said just leave it in the parking space." I'd say it's more common than you think. Another listener says, "My friend has a fake clamp. He parks wherever he likes and he fixes the clamp to his car. He's got away with this for a good 6 years at this stage. How the clampers don't cop on is beyond me."
That's extraordinary. I mean, I did do, I analysed some of the figures, the most recent figures that we have. There were 46,000 clamps in 2019, 46,000 cars clamped. Now, we do know the top 10 places in Dublin City where the clamping takes place. I was kind of bemused to discover that 80% of the top 10 clamping spots in the city are in the south side of the city, only 20% are in the north side of
the city.
Such
a lesson in that.
There is a huge lesson.
The north
lesson
says
is,
divide.
Yeah, or
right
the, perhaps the lesson is to park in the north side. The place that's worst for clamping in Dublin is Mespel Road. Mespel Road is a tiny sliver of a road linking Bagot Street Bridge and Leeson Street Bridge. In 2019, there was almost 1,000 cars clamped on that small stretch of road.
Mac. Holy moly.
Don't park
there. Don't leave your car there. I paid €120 for a clamp 2 years ago in Navan. €120. Nearly lost my life. I had been clamped once before and it was 80, which you can get over eventually. I will never get over paying 120 though. Never. Holy moly. Simon, thank you very much for that. You can listen back on newstalk.com for that. Moncrief on Newstalk.